You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
This is what happens when you have to. I went to go grab some water real quick. Did I almost miss the return here? Is that what happened? I didn't realize we were gone that long. We're back though, right, Josh? We're on. All right. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio here. It is a Buffalo Bills Football Friday. It is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. I'm a little bit out of breath trying to get back. I'm like, oh, you know what? I think the commercial's probably ending soon. So forgive me for one second while I do that. Thanks, Josh. What, were you scared? Were you like, where the hell is Sal? Where did he go?
Yeah, I thought I lost you. I didn't know what was going on. And I was about to call you, and I was like, where did he go? What happened? And, you know,
It's all good. No, I was just grabbing some water, and I was getting back. I'm like, wait a minute. I hear the music. I think I need to be back on the air and talk on the microphone real quick. All right, welcome back again. Like I said, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We have to tell you about the Barnes injury report, and of course, that's paired up with Sean McDermott coming on a little about an hour ago. If you missed that, check it on demand at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app. The Barnes injury report is brought to you by the Barnes firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. No change, really, for the Bills. And what Sean McDermott said, still limited, Javon Solomon and Dewan Smoot, but he did say Dewan Smoot is trending in the right direction. We'll see if that is also the case for Javon Solomon. We'll see if he plays on Monday night. Like I've said a few times here, you're not going to get an injury game designation today like you normally do on a Friday because they play Monday night. So because they play Monday night, the game designations for the game injuries won't come out until tomorrow. So we'll get that from the Buffalo Bills then. Let's head back out to the phone lines. Let's get to Wayne in West Seneca. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate that.
You got it.
Hey, just going back to that, I was at that Jacksonville game, the 0-4, and wasn't the that long Jimmy Smith play catch, that great catch you're talking about, wasn't that the fourth down? It was a fourth down play, and then Nate Clements, just going up and knocking down and swatting the ball down, the game would have been over. He went for the interception, and then that's when that great catch came from. So the game would have been over at that point.
I think you're right. Yeah. And I remember that, like, oh my God.
We used to laugh about the, you know, cause I think Clements maybe during practice or maybe training camp, he didn't have like a masking tape on the front of his helmet, you know, playmaker, you know, like, oh geez, man, you know, going for the interception, just knocked the ball down, game over. So that's what I thought happened there. But
well, the other thing is, Wayne, someone did send me an article that in the article about this game, it does say it was ruled a touchdown when it was decided he was pushed out of bounds by the defender and then replay upheld it. I didn't think so. I'm looking at it, and I guess I always thought he was just ruled in bounds. You know what I mean? I tweeted out video, which, by the way, it's just tough to see because of the angle and non-HD. But right. The article says it was ruled that he was pushed out of bounds.
Right, but not that catch, the one before that. Because remember you said...
Yep, I know which one you're talking about. Down the left sideline, Nate Clements was in coverage. Yep.
Yes, I remember that. That's the one. The game would have been over there because I believe that was fourth down. All he had to do was just knock it down, and game would have been over.
Thanks, Wayne. I appreciate that. And I think you're right. I'm going to go back and look if I have that game. Here we go. Here's the Nate Clements play. So Wayne, you're listening. Hold on. It was fourth and 14. Yes, you're right. Fourth and 14 from the Jags 34. They just throw it up, maybe hope for a pass interference. But instead, Nate Clements goes and doesn't knock it down. He gets beat. Then right after that, there's a delay of game penalty on London Fletcher. What did he do on a defensive side? So that puts it up to they're at the 21. That moves it to the 16. And that's when you get an incomplete pass, an up the middle run, incomplete, a complete pass to the 6, 3 incompletes, and then the touchdown to Ernest Wolford. All right. Man, Bills Jags. Let's take a look at week number 3. Give me some NFL music here to put underneath it. We'll take a look at week number 3 as we go forward here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Josh, let's do this, all right? All right, week number 3 in the NFL starts off last night. Thursday night game. No surprise that the Jets, when a team was favored by 6, What was surprising to me was how easily it happened, because I just thought that the Patriots would keep it a little bit closer than they did. Patriots are not good, folks. How did this team beat the Cincinnati Bengals? How? No idea. The Patriots last night had 40 yards at halftime. 40. They wound up with, like, what, 150 or something? I don't even know. 170? 170, maybe? I think I took a look at it. Let me go to the stats here. What? 139. So they had 99 yards in the second half. Incredible. They cannot throw the ball. They can't protect their quarterback. And the Jets look pretty good. Aaron Rodgers looked good. He did not look old and immobile. He looked pretty good. Okay, Sunday. Giants at Browns. Boy, the Giants also a team that just can't seem to get out of their own way. They do not have a lot of talent. I love Malik Nabers and what he's doing. But they're facing a very good Browns defense. I expect the Browns to keep this a very low-scoring game on their end, meaning the Giants not scoring much. So the Browns should make enough plays to win this game. I would look for the Browns to win here. And Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, starting the year 0-3, which would not be good news for them, and especially Daboll, I would say. Bears at Colts. The Colts need a win. They're 0-2, a team that people thought could take a step this year. They don't want to go 0-3. I think they can against the Bears, a Bears team that fought hard against the Texans and has a pretty good defense, but they can't figure it out right now on offense. Caleb Williams can't figure it out on offense. They're a little bit banged up at wide receiver, but I like the Colts in this matchup if they can just make a play or two, because it just seems like the Bears can't do enough on offense yet. Could go either way, though, really. Texans at Vikings becomes a more sneaky matchup than what it was maybe heading into the season. So this is very interesting for the Bills, obviously, because the Bills are fighting in the AFC with the Texans. You'd love to give them a loss here. But if the Vikings win, that's another game that they win, a team that the Bills have their second-round pick next year. You want them to lose a lot of games. I don't think you should worry about that right now. Second-round pick is still good, whether you're picking 1 or 10 or 30. You'd love it to be higher, but it's still good draft capital. What's more important here is if the Vikings can beat the Texans to give them a loss in the AFC, but I'm not sure. How good are the Vikings? Let's see. 2-0 with Sam Darnold. Eagles at Saints. Talk about a team. The Eagles reeling right now after what happened on Monday night. Saints look great. They've scored over 40 points in two straight games. Saints have a little bit of a Drew Bledsoe-era Bills feel to them, to me. Like, start the season, just can't stop them. And then after a few games, you're like, oh, okay, we figured it out. Well, let's see if that happens. Eagles need a win. Desperate team here going into New Orleans, 1-1 after what happened last week and what happened last year towards the end of the year. Chargers at Steelers, two 2-0 teams that I don't think either of them is really that great, but one's going to be 3-0. Who is it? Chargers, Justin Herbert, is a little bit banged up at practice. Steelers, looks like they're going with Justin Fields again. I mean, the Steelers are 2-0. They've won games 18-10 and 13-6. Right? The Chargers, they're 2-0. But they've beaten the Raiders, with all due respect. They did beat the Ravens last week. The Raiders and the Panthers. I just don't know what to do with these two teams yet. I don't know what to do with these two teams after this week, to be quite honest with you. Who do the Chargers have next? Oh, Chargers have the Chiefs after this. Steelers have the Colts. I hate the Steelers win. They could be 4-0. Broncos at Buccaneers. Boy, the Buccaneers look really good, and the Broncos don't. This is a game, just the way these two teams have looked, that this should be Buccaneers taking care of business pretty easily almost. But it's the NFL. You never know. Sean Payton rallied his team last year after a tough start. He's working with Bo Nix. I saw a thing the other day about how long it's taken them to get out of the huddle. You are not helping your rookie quarterback by getting out of the huddle 10 seconds left in the huddle because all the personnel changes in the play call. Help your rookie quarterback, Sean. Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield looks really good. 2-0 against 0-2 here. All right, Packers against Titans. Malik Willis facing his former team. He says it's not a revenge game for him. Good for him. He's saying all the right things. What it is for the Titans, though, is a get-off-the-mat game. They're 0-2, and they're facing Malik Willis in a Packers team that's still pretty good without Jordan Love because they can play defense. I think the Packers should probably win this game, but I give the Titans a chance because Look, Will Levis is a turnover machine and a really, I can't believe you made that decision machine, but he can still make some plays. And the Packers are going to have to play a closer to the vest type of game with Malik Willis. That leaves a little margin for error, at least a little margin for error. So I think the Titans can hold here, but the Packers are the better team overall. We'll see, though. Maybe the quarterback play matters when it's all said and done. Good game there. Panthers at Raiders. Okay, I'm just going to say it. The Panthers have a shot. I know, I'll tell you, they look horrible right now. But Andy Dalton's going to give them a little injection in the offense. And as much as the Raiders are coming off a big win at Baltimore, feeling good about themselves. I'm not saying they're overlooking the Panthers, but the Panthers will be ready to play a little bit here. They're going to play for Andy Dalton, I think. I think the Raiders win. I give the Panthers more of a shot than what a lot of people might, though, in this game. Dolphins at Seahawks. Dolphins with Skylar Thompson going across the country to play the Seahawks. A team that I don't think is that great, but I think has a chance to go 3-0 here. And especially against Skylar Thompson, a Skylar Thompson-led offense. This is the longest trip an NFL team can make, I believe, from South Florida to Seattle or vice versa. I like Seattle here, particularly because I just don't like Skylar Thompson running that offense and trying to go on the road in Seattle and win. Lions at Cardinals. Boy, Cardinals looked really good last week. Lions have a very good offense. This might be a high-scoring game. And I don't know which way to go. I think the Cardinals win, but I could see the Lions win. This is a good game. Good NFC game, 4:25 p.m. I like that one. Ravens at Cowboys. Ravens need to get off the mat, right? Now they're facing a Cowboys team that was just taken apart by the Ravens, by the Cowboys, by the Saints last week. So Ravens, if they go to 0-3 and the Bills have to play them next week, Sunday night in Baltimore, whew, that's a tough task. You almost want them to get the win, not to have to do that. But you'd also like them to see get them lost because they are an AFC team that you're fighting with. Best case scenario is, you know, Cowboys still beat them. But man, that would set up a 0-3 Ravens team against a possible 3-0 Bills team Sunday night. Dallas needs to play better. Needs to play better. They know that. They have talent on offense, talent on defense. It just seems like it's the same old Cowboys over the last few years. What we saw last week. You look good in week one and then nothing in week two. 49ers at Rams. 49ers will be ready for this game, but how ready can they be with how banged up they are? Now George Kittle's the latest. However, the Rams, 49ers are banged up at their skill, but the Rams are banged up at the most important players on their skill positions that they rely on the most. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, their offensive line. We'll see what Sean McVay comes up with to mitigate that. And then Sunday night, Chiefs at Falcons. On the surface, Chiefs should go into Atlanta and win. But I think after last week, seeing what Kirk Cousins did and Raheem Morris seeing what he did, maybe they, you know, trend a little bit more towards an up-tempo, make it easier offense, get some easy completions. You have talent on that side of the ball. And I do wonder how much the Isaiah Pacheco injury really affects Kansas City. I think that's a big, big loss for Kansas City, the Isaiah Pacheco injury. And we'll see what that, I mean, Carson Steele? Is that what we're talking about? Not really sure. We'll get our guy Adam Krautwurst here to tell us all about it. He joins me now on the Wester Hotline. We'll get into Monday night's game on Monday when you see the Bills play the Jags and, of course, the Bengals and Commanders go at it. And then you're going to have Zach and Josh on Monday as I'll be getting down to the stadium for the game. Adam Krautwurst right now on the Wester Hotline from Full Time Fantasy and Deep End Fantasy Podcast. As always, buddy, great to talk to you. How you doing today?
Doing great, Sal. Thanks for having me.
Let me start there with what I just said. How much does it impact the Chiefs in a fantasy perspective without Isaiah Pacheco around the board for them?
Yeah, I think it hurts them a lot. And, you know, I think we'll find out pretty quickly here. You know, the talk of the league the last couple of days has been like, hey, what do you do against these cover twos? What do you do against these kind of these four deep zone looks, these umbrellas? And that's, you know, Josh and Mahomes have been seeing these for 3 or 4 years now. But the way that the Chiefs have been able to get away with it a lot, too, is Mahomes is great, but also they've had that running game. They've had Pacheco for the last couple of years where he can punish the defense for running cover two. And you see the Bills are doing that now with James Cook. So yeah. I think it's really going to hurt them. I don't think Carson Steele's great. For fantasy-wise, you probably are okay starting and maybe he gets a goal line score. But I wouldn't be surprised if he struggles and they struggle if they go out and make a trade for a running back.
I agree. I thought about that. I mean, that's the kind of team that would do that, right? Like, they're in the window. They want to win a Super Bowl again. They want to get back there and win another one. They could be looking for a running back to bring in from the outside. In the meantime, what about Samaje Perine? Is he a guy that factors in?
Yeah, he does. He's a pass-catching guy. Like, I don't think, the thing about Pacheco is he could do both. I don't know if they want Steele in the passing game. So I think, yeah, he certainly could get some work on third downs, under 2 minutes, end of the game, end of the half type of thing. And that's what you want from your running backs. You want goal line work and you want catch work, receiving work. And I think Perine can certainly offer that.
You mentioned James Cook. I think coming into the year, the question was, would he get the touchdowns? We know he's going to get the volume to catch the ball. He's going to get the touches. And then suddenly the touchdowns came in bunches last week. Does that alter your view on him going forward, what you saw last Thursday night against Miami?
It doesn't, in a sense, from a fantasy perspective, is because, again, in order to be super successful, you got to get the receiving work. He does get a short receiving touchdown last week, and you got to get the goal line work. He scored two longer touchdowns last week. Those are a lot harder to come by to be consistent. That might be his best game of the year. I like him more as an NFL player than I do as a fantasy player, but if he can keep getting those receiving scores and stay healthy, that's the thing. He's not a big back, and they're really riding him. If he can stay healthy, I mean, he's going to be on one of the better offenses in the NFL, and you're certainly going to be starting him at least every week as an RB2.
The Jets win last night, but Garrett Wilson is teams, as Aaron Rodgers said, teams are really focusing on him. What do you do with Garrett Wilson right now? It's a guy I have as well in one of my leagues. He had the touchdown last night. That was great, but teams are really focusing on him. Is he still in the upper echelon of wide receivers, knowing that that's how teams are trying to approach the Jets?
Yeah, I think he is. He has, you know, he led the team in targets again. They've been a little bit off, too, on a couple of plays here. And I'm huge. Very high, and Garrett Wilson gets there with the touchdown last night, but, you know, doesn't have many yards. Get like 35 yards or something. And they were just off a couple of times. You know, they called Garrett Wilson for illegal motion, but even on that play, on that deep ball, Rodgers misses him, probably could have scored. And then later on in the game, he goes inside on like a little skinny post route there, and Rodgers misses him again, and Rodgers, you can tell he's pissed about it. They haven't really been there on those back shoulder fades either. But I think they'll eventually get there. You're obviously not benching him, but I think he'll be fine moving forward. The touchdown was nice to get him there, but I think they need to get moving a little bit more on some of these deep balls.
All right, then on the Bills a little bit more here. Dalton Kincaid off to a slow start. Should we be buying low on Dalton Kincaid, or is this something we should be a little bit weary of considering what you've seen over the first 2 weeks?
Can I say both? I think you should be probably buying low on him because he's out there for all the plays. He's out there for all the routes. They really forced it. I think he got the first two targets of last week's game, and then I'm sure you've talked about this on the air. As he's getting up, he gets kind of kneed in the face on that second one, and I think it shook him up for at least the first half of the game. So I think they were really going to force feed him the ball last week, but they had a huge lead. They weren't trying to throw the ball at the end of that game. They're going to be in some games where they're going to be behind, and they got to throw it. He's out there for all of that. So yes, I'm a little weary in a sense that, man, maybe they are going to spread it out more than we thought. But I think when push comes to shove, he is their go-to guy.
Adam Krautwich on the Western Hotline. Go over to full-time fantasy. He has Stardom, Sit'em for week number 3 coming up. Derek Carr is at the top of everybody's list right now. How sustainable is this for what they're doing?
Yeah, I think it's sustainable, Sal. They're running, you know, they bring in the new offensive coordinator. They are running more motion and more play action than any team in the NFL. And look what it does, man. It just sets them up for such success. I mean, that's what the analytics say. Those targets, those throws coming off play action and motion are so much more valuable. The crazy thing is, Carr's fourth in fantasy points for quarterbacks. He's 31st in pass attempts. So he's barely even throwing the ball. Wait till they start throwing the ball more. He's been super efficient. And, you know, was it 6 years ago, when they were talking about Carr as maybe a potential, you know, all-pro candidate, potential MVP guy? I think he still has a little bit of that left in him. And he finally has an offensive coordinator that can help him out.
And then you also have Sit'em, Trevor Lawrence, and of course of note here because he's playing the Bills on Monday night. Why do you not like Trevor Lawrence and the Jags quarterback this weekend?
It's so interesting. I didn't want to put him on there as a Bills fan because I feel like they always give the Bills fits for like no reason at all. Evan Ingram's probably not playing, and Trevor Lawrence just, do I want to say he's just not good? I mean, it's been years when waiting and waiting and waiting for this. all the weapons. No Evan Engram. Christian Kirk gets one catch for negative 1 yard. I mean, they just he looks lost out there. Maybe Peterson, as the game passed Peterson by as an offensive, like, I don't think he's taken that next step that everyone was hoping. And so, man, I was super high on Lawrence. Again, he didn't have Evan Engram, who I think is his number one target, but he just can't figure it out. And so if it wasn't for a little bit of those rushing yards last week that he had like one long run down on the sidelines. And even there, you know, I hate to say it, but like, he doesn't even try to lower his shoulder and get into the end zone. He kind of ducks out of bounds at the 2 yard line after a long run. Man, you got to go fight for your team there and get that touchdown, especially in a close game. So I'm okay benching him. If you're in a shallow league, a 10-team league, I wouldn't even hate cutting him if there's some. I mean, because Baker was probably on waivers, Baker Mayfield, and probably so was Derek Carr. You can drop Trevor Lawrence for both those quarterbacks.
Is it worth a stream on Brenton Strange, especially considering the Bills linebacker, you know, injuries right now, or would you stay away from that?
I would probably stay away from that too. I mean, he did have a bunch of targets for them last week, but I think you could probably do a little bit better on the waiver wire than this week.
How does the benching of Bryce Young impact anybody in fantasy?
I know it's crazy to say, like, hey, maybe Andy Dalton is an encouraging guy. Maybe he can just have a functional offense. I've got a lot of Deontay Johnson, so I'm in that camp. I'm like, hey, you know, maybe we can get a functional offense and get Deontay going here. I think that'll be fine. I think like you said before I came on, I think he can inject some life into that. He's been there. He's not a new guy. He's been there for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. So they know him. The players know him. So I think, whereas I would have said, don't start any Carolina Panthers. Now I think you can start your Deontay Johnsons. You can maybe, if you're in a desperate mode, because I know there's a lot of injuries, maybe you can start an Adam Thielen, who had a pretty good year last year and when he played a little bit, and maybe get back to Chuba Hubbard, because that's a game that they could compete in and maybe keep Hubbard involved, because the Raiders just aren't very good.
And then finally, I just want to ask you about defenses right now. We see a lot of lower scoring, you know, things going on right now. And then you have some changes. I think Miami's one I'm eyeing. Seattle on defense there. How about Indy on defense against what's happening with Caleb Williams? Anybody you like on defense this week? A team that you like? Tennessee against Malik Willis? The quarterback changes going on in some places. Is there a defense that you might recommend streaming this week because of all this?
Yeah, I think there's... Anytime you just look at streaming defenses, by the way, is a great idea to go ahead and do that, because a lot of leagues, they don't really offer huge points for defenses. But just look at the quarterback position. So you just got Packers versus Titans, Browns versus Giants, Raiders versus Panthers, Seahawks, Buccaneers I really like this week. Okay. And you want to look at not just quarterbacks that are bad, but are they going to turn it over? Because you want turnovers, you want sacks. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get a team that's going to run the ball every play, it's hard to get fantasy points on defense by just stopping the run. So you want to find quarterbacks like Bo Nix, like guys like that, that are going to throw the ball around, get Daniel Jones, that are still going to throw the ball around a little bit. And
how about Will Levis?
Yeah, exactly. Play the Packers defense, exactly. So play teams that are going to go up against offenses that are going to turn the ball over and take sacks.
Adam Krautwurst, great stuff. The fantasy football, full-time fantasy is where I can find them. Deep End Podcast. Thanks a lot, buddy. Always appreciate you joining us. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Sal, thank you so much.
All right, you got it. That is Adam Krautwurst. Always doing a good job there, getting you set for fantasy. Yeah, I got some decisions I got to make this week, too. One of my fantasy like analytics sites is telling me do not start Derrick Henry because I have other people to start instead, like a wide receiver, like maybe him over Tank Dell. I'm like, really, do I want to not do that? And I didn't love drafting Derrick Henry, but it was the best spot at the time. You know, you can't draft with your heart, you gotta draft with your head. So Fantasy Football Sunday, you can watch it like last week and wait. Remember last week the Bills play Thursday and you have your all day Sunday to just sit back, kick the feet up, watch the games? You do the same thing this week, but you're not as relaxed because you know the Bills haven't played yet, haven't gotten that big W. So they have to go play on Monday. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, Patrick Hammer joins me. We're going to take a look at our weather for Monday night as we take a break here. And it's brought to you by, and back in a snap, Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.